Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 24 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Derek Jensen von Rensburg, we'll touch on those Barlow World and Netcare results. I'm also chatting with Dis-Chem CFO. Acquisition starting to make some profits. I'm keen to see how the shopping patterns are relative to pre-pandemic. And then Tracy Davies from Just Share. Thungela and Exxaro AGMs are today and tomorrow, and she has lots of questions. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit Stanlib. Stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Barlow World impairs equipment Eurasia business following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's hurting them, and they've lost a fair chunk of sales as a result. From Business Day, ending Joburg's energy crisis will cost 26 billion rand. City has to acquire 500 megawatts of additional electricity to save from load shedding, according to the mayor. The numbers don't add up. I've chatted with miners who, you know, they're creating 30, 40 megawatts, but they're creating it at literally tens of millions. I don't know. Somehow those numbers don't add up. Morning market. US markets were green. S&P up 1.9%. NASDAQ up 1.7%. Asia is red. Sydney a couple of points down. Tokyo off 0.5%. Commodities mostly green. Gold, $1,859. Brent, $113.02 a barrel. Platinum, $944. Palladium, $2,001 an ounce. Rhodium been under pressure the last few weeks, but still $15,290. Rand, 15.82. Top 40 looking for a red open, but 40 points to the red, fraction of a percent. That as Tencent trades down 1.5% in Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Derek Jensen von Rensburg from Anchor Capital. Derek, appreciate the early morning. And Barlow World results. I mean, lots of moving parts, potentially looking to list Avis. They've said that before. But lots of issues in Russia. They talk around some 2 billion rands worth of orders being cancelled. Your take of it. I mean, if you can, I suppose, take out Russia, I'm not sure that we can.
Yeah, I think, look, if you just look at it from the surface level, I think Barlow World certainly delivered a great set of numbers and obviously moving in the right direction. I think just on a valuation perspective, under 100 bucks, it looks quite interesting. Obviously, in the short term, we're dealing with the negative sentiment of them having to write down their sort of Russian exposure at this point, and that's obviously having a drag. And I think it's also got to do with the potential cash flow generation that Russia exposure actually delivered to the group. So obviously looking forward, you need to kind of factor that out of the equation, you know, which was probably to a degree in some of these numbers. But all in all, I think that the business can certainly weather the write-down of that exposure and then obviously focus on the core assets that they've got within that stable. So, you know, I still think it was a great delivery of results. Remember, you've got a couple of components to this business. You obviously got the sort of hardware machinery type business of it, and then obviously the services component. So I certainly think that in this environment where we've had this hard and fast mining activity exposure across the globe, the services side of that business is certainly going to have some degree of a liftoff as we move into the next 6 months. So I think it's still well positioned. Obviously, a bit of short-term negative sentiment weighing on the share price, pulling it under that 100 grand level. But looking forward, I still think that they're going to deliver a decent sort of set of numbers. So I would anticipate the stock to kind of move between sort of 125, 130, and then down to these lower range, the lower range of call it 100 rand a share. So under 100 looks interesting, but be prepared to be quite nimble in it and almost look to trade the stock if you do see some excitement pushing back up towards that 120 level.
I take your point on that, and certainly below 100, some opportunity then, particularly when if Avis comes. Netcare numbers out yesterday. We've got all the medical stocks, or the hospital groups rather, coming this week. A sense of normality returning sort of post-pandemic, but man, these share prices are still under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a theme that's playing out within the sort of hospital sector as a whole, where, you know, you're getting this post-pandemic pickup where you get these high margin components of these hospital groups that are starting to deliver from an earnings perspective. So I think a good result out of Netcare. I think HEPS were up around 30% or just under 30%. I think well positioned. You know, they talk about hospitals getting full with, call it long COVID effects and blood clots, you know, having to be treated and things like that. So, you know, that's one component. But I think the most sort of exciting part of the hospital group space at the moment is that normality trade where you get these elective surgeries starting to come back to the fore. And that's really the high margin stuff. You know, you don't need to fill all your hospital beds to make the kind of, you know, revenue that you're looking to do, comparing it to the pandemic, let's call it that. So, you know, I do think that there's a little bit of pent-up demand with people going into hospitals doing those elective surgeries at the moment, and I would tend to think that there will be some follow-through as we look forward into the next 6 months. I see the COVID numbers coming down, and COVID certainly not having the effect that it's had in the past, and obviously vaccines doing what they're meant to do at the moment.
A quick last question. I don't know if you saw the Soho Sun and Gaming update that came out late yesterday. We also had Sun International running. We had Richard Branson promising flights Cape Town to London. Are you seeing some activity in the leisure space?
Yeah, and I think that that trading statement that came out of Soho Gaming was quite late in that results are actually due around the corner. So I think the market was anticipating a less than or a more diverse kind of stance in terms of earnings. And I think this certainly did sort of support the share price rally yesterday. So I think there's leverage in these gaming stocks at the moment, which talks to Sun International and Soho. Soho a little bit more pricey than Sun International, just from a fundamental perspective. But certainly I think they're well positioned as we move into the next sort of 6 months, and particularly as we kind of eke our way out of this winter period into the December period. I think that there's going to be some decent revenue writing across the board when it comes to gaming at this point. So a good number. I think it was up around 9% yesterday into the close, the Soho Gaming. I would expect a degree of follow through as we start to see the market price and increased activity through the course of this year and obviously into those sort of summer periods where people start to get out a bit more.
Yeah, and you're right. Results expected on Thursday, so very, very soon. Derek Jensen from Rensburg, Anchor Capital, as always, appreciate the early morning insights.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Tracy Davies, Executive Director at Just Share. Tracy, appreciate the early morning time as always. We've got the Thungela Resources AGM later today. We've got the Exxaro AGM tomorrow. Reading the notes that you and your team from Just Share have put out, I've got to say my sense is neither of them are taking climate change seriously.
Morning, Simon. I think that's a fairly accurate assessment, yes, absolutely. We've been quite shocked to see, first of all, the kind of statements that these companies are making about their impacts and their the misleading statements they're making about their impact. But also just, you know, of course, the fossil fuel industry is on the rebound now with the coal, oil and gas prices as high as they are. And this seems to have given these companies some kind of new lease on life in terms of trumpeting the benefits and the wonders of coal for going on forever into the future, which is crazy because the high price of coal has not changed climate science, you know, and so we're looking at companies and analysts and commentators sort of really just being extremely bullish and gung-ho about coal. At the same time, we look at the devastating floods that are happening in KZN. You know, there's an extraordinary level of cognitive dissonance going on here.
I'm from KZN, and I think you're right. It's just the two different extremes. And the point being, I mean, I think it was actually you who was tweeting, was it July Ngluvu from Thungela when he was talking at the mining in Durban. And there's a bit of talk there, but there is, I mean, with respect to the companies, we're not asking them to shut down tomorrow. That's not the plan. But there are, you know, we've got sort of things in place that they can start putting into place. They can start having proper policies, being realistic about the future. And yet they're not. And that just, to me, seems to be, frankly, irresponsible.
I agree. And you're absolutely right. You know, even though this kind of threat is something that's bandied about by fossil fuel companies and by, let's be honest, by our politicians on a regular basis, you know, we can't shut down all the coal-fired power stations tomorrow. No, nobody's even remotely suggesting that you do that. But if you are serious about climate science, that means you have a credible plan to wind down coal production. And at the moment, Exxaro seems to envisage itself mining coal well past 2050, even just from its existing mines, by sort of expanding its existing mines. And Thungela has plans to open new coal mines in 2022. There's no question that that's irresponsible from a climate science point of view.
Is this, and I'm not sure if you have an answer to it perhaps, but yeah, is this unique to us in South Africa? Or is this, you know, with these booming commodity prices, is that these mining companies the world over have almost got their swagger back?
So that's such a good way of putting it. No, of course it's not unique to us. I think you see this in the rest of the world much more intensely, I suppose, around oil and gas, because oil and gas were, you know, coal was really on its way out certainly in most of the developing world, if not already out. I think what makes this interesting in South Africa is that what it shows is that the kind of, to the extent that there was a big recognition in the financial sector that coal was on its way out in South Africa, that was possibly driven more by the fact that there wasn't a hell of a lot of money to be made in it than it was by climate science. And so now that we see that you know, the price of coal is at all-time record highs, suddenly there's all sorts of talk about expansion and new coal. And that really demonstrates the hollowness of a lot of the kind of ESG talk that we've seen over the last couple of years when it comes to coal, where, you know, all the big asset managers were happily recognizing the fact that coal needed to be rapidly and urgently wound down if we were going to reach the goals of the Paris Agreement. There's no more of that talk now.
Yeah, I was going to say, in a sense, it's not in a sense. We are very clearly, you know, throwing the climate under the bus at that expense of profits. And I appreciate profits, but I think that, you know, we've only got one planet, and that perhaps is more important. We'll leave it there. Tracy Davies, Executive Director at Just Share, as always, appreciate the insight.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Iwa Maree, Dischem CFO. Results out for the year ending February. Revenue up 15.7%. Headline earnings up 27.6%. Well, I appreciate the early morning time. The first question, is trading sort of back to normal in terms of pre-pandemic? And I'm thinking here, foot traffic, basket size. We saw people doing a lot less trips, but bigger baskets. Are we getting some sort of normality returning to your stores?
Morning, Simon, and morning to your listeners. Very much so. So not quite to pre-pandemic levels, but certainly some of the points that you made, basket sizes coming down slightly, frequency of shop increasing, we are seeing that. And, of course, more traffic into regional malls or larger malls as opposed to just convenience centres.
Ah, yes, because of course that was the other big trend where folks were going to the smaller, more convenient. Your headline earnings up 27.6%. You've got a couple of acquisitions in that, and I want to touch on them, particularly the medical insurance gap cover offering. How much of the of growth was organic versus acquisitive?
So it depends on what income statement line you look at.
Okay.
But at a top-line level, we had Medicare, which was a community pharmacy group, which we acquired from the 1st of October. They could have contributed for 5 months in terms of sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then Baby City would have been in our base, or would have been in our year for the first time. So all in all, around 4% of top line would have been acquisitive, and the rest would have been organic growth.
Okay, that's a lot stronger than I would have thought. You mentioned the acquisitions there. I mean, your medical insurance, your gap cover offering, how's that performing? Because I mean, we've chatted before around it, and it just, I mean, to me, it looks perfectly positioned for our market.
So it's exceeded our expectations initially. I think one of the very positive things is. And I think we did know, but it's good to see in reality is obviously the market exists. So, you know, when we look at it metrically, you know, policy sold versus expectation, lead conversion, so effectively, you know, pointing out appropriate people within our loyalty base to sell these products to, all of those metrics are above our expectations. So, again, I mean, it points to the fact that the market very much needs a product like this, and we're quite excited about the opportunity of both those products and any others to come in the insurance space.
I hadn't thought of that. Maybe I slightly misunderstand you. You talk around lead generation. Of course, you've got a loyalty card. Are you able to in a sense, almost look at the different shoppers and sort of determine who's a potential customer and target them?
Absolutely. I mean, the data we sit on, and no luck any other retailer or anyone who's got a big customer or patient base is powerful. So, you know, we can look at different types of personas and understand how appropriate the product may be for them. You know, whether it's a single mother of a family, you know, that's not on medical aid, that's consumed healthcare in our space, you know, insurance and medical insurance. This is a traditional insurance product. It's not like a savings account that you see in a medical aid. You know, it's good to understand the persona, so that's very relevant when you potentially, you know, generate a sale or make contact with them as opposed to just a cold call.
Yeah, no, I got you. It makes perfect sense. It's that big data, which if you're a retailer these days is hugely important. We've had challenges with supply chains. We're seeing inflationary pressure, particularly more in of course transport, which is an issue as you move goods around, but more in the food space. Are you still seeing issues with supply chains and inflation pressure coming through?
So, Simon, sporadic. We have seen some supply chain issues in certain drugs, more in the OTC space than in the schedule space. I think one of the challenges globally is, you know, some of the guys are battling to get the API, the active ingredient, you know, that sits at the core of certain medicines. But it has been sporadic. I mean, there's nothing that's been alarming. So, you know, we'll watch and see. I mean, I think strategic buying are becoming more and more important, especially. When you have instances like this. That's our focus, and we'll try and keep as much product on our shelf as possible. It's always been something that differentiates us as a brand.
Yeah, and I do note that a small increase in inventories, which I suppose is part of offsetting that, so you don't get those supply constraints coming through. Roma Rett, CFO at Dis-Chem, appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. How are your shopping habits? Are they sort of returning back to pre-pandemic? And thinking about mine, I think they are sort of, although I was never one for going to the giant malls. I've always preferred the smaller ones. But have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. Yesterday we were chatting with Martin Ackerman, economist at Citadel, around that increasing risk of recession. And we asked you if you think there will be a recession in the next year or so. A number said, well, how do we define a recession? So technically, a recession is two negative GDP quarter prints in a row. So, for example, we saw the US come with a negative 1.4 for quarter one. If they have a negative GDP for quarter two this year, that is technically a recession. Half of you are saying, yep, absolutely, you're expecting a recession in the next year or so. A third of you said, you know what, technical or not, recession, yes or no, it's going to be tough. And I think that's absolutely spot on. Around a tenth were saying, do you think it's going to be fine? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. And thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchli, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guest for the early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking the cost of global fragmented economy to society.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.